All right, we started reading in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth ye it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Are you of faith?
Yes.
Then you're blessed. You're not going to be blessed. You are blessed. I said you are blessed. Now, these kinds of things are things that we try to let you know what's happening with them when he said, you're blessed with faithful Abraham. It's not going to be blessed. That's not faith. Faith is something that's now. So you are blessed right now. And you have to have knowledge of that blessing that you have. Let's go to a couple of places. In 2 Peter, please. It's back by the book of Revelation, 2 Peter in chapter 1. And he says here in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 2, Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Underline, through the knowledge of God. And Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things, underline all things, that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. That knowledge, not information, that's revelation, that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So these precious promises are yours and mine. But the way that we're going to have to get them is through the knowledge of God. And when the knowledge of God comes to you, also faith comes. And as you know, the enemy wants to steal or destroy your faith. So if he wants to take from you what belongs to you, he comes after your faith. Because your faith is the thing that enables you to reach the destiny that God has planned for you. So he comes after your faith. He knows faith is the guarantee that you'll have access to your inheritance. Glory to God. That's powerful, isn't it? So we said what we have to do is watch that, because we talked about Jacob. And we talked about Jacob over in Genesis chapter 47 when Joseph brought his father Jacob down to Egypt, and he came down and was before Pharaoh, and he blessed him. And Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? And what Jacob began to talk about, that he had not yet attained to the age of his fathers. And what we said, that is that the enemy came and robbed him of some things, and he did it through Jacob's grieving, that he thought his son was dead. But he was deceived. And Satan is a deceiver. And he was deceived by his other sons bringing the coat of many colors that he had given to Joseph. And they put blood on it from an animal that they had and claimed that an animal must have killed Joseph. And this is the proof of it. And Jacob believed it. Jacob didn't consult the Lord. Jacob didn't go back to the covenant. Jacob only took temporal evidence and took it as gospel. Well, it's interesting what God says here. If you look here at Romans, and Romans chapter 3, and look at verses 3 and 4. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man be a liar. Now this is interesting, because too many people, especially God's folk, are victims of a scientific verdict. And you got to watch that. Because medical verdict is not falsehood within themselves. But compared to spiritual law, that God's word and the Spirit should be the basis for your final judgment. Because think about it. Jesus was walking with a man named Jairus. And as Jairus was walking, he told Jesus, he said, come to my house, for my daughter lies sick near death. And if you come and lay your hands on her, she will be healed and she'll be well. So Jesus began to walk with him. And Jairus had released his faith in Jesus' ability to deliver his daughter. Now, the key to that is that we have to see God not only as our source, but as our only source. And until you are a committed seeker, you can't be used as a miracle worker. I'm preaching better than you saying amen now. You can't misplace faith. In other words, I'd like what Bishop Oedipo said when he was here. He preached, he said, faith is something that you can't have one eye looking up and the other eye looking down. It takes focus. And so here is Jesus, and Jesus is going with Jairus to his house when there was a woman who stopped him. And this woman had an issue of blood. She didn't speak to Jesus. She just walked up behind him and touched him. Because she had said, if I may just touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And the Bible says she pressed her way. Now this brings you into that idea that once you really have faith, you don't have it, it has you. And once real faith gets a hold of you, you don't care what other folks say about it. Oh, yes. You don't care what they think about you. And I preach the fact that you become under the influence. And I don't know whether y'all seen a drunk man before, but he kind of stumbles and every now and then he leans one way or the other. And What happens is he's under the influence of something. He's not in control of his leaning. And I'm saying when you really got faith right, you are no longer in control. Faith will take you to places where few men dare to go. Faith will deliver to you promises where few men dare to even receive. Faith will do that for you. But you got to get faith. And to get that, God not only has to be your source, but he's got to be your only source. And that's places where a lot of folk don't want to get to, because they want to have some fallback just in case this don't work. Well, think about that. That's what James talked about over here in the book of James. I'm going to have to whoop that out right quick. Over here in the book of James, he says in James chapter 1, he said, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith will work endurance or patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, come on, wanting nothing. That's where God wants to get you, that you don't want a thing. If any of you lack what? Wisdom. Let him ask of who? God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be, come on, given him. But let him ask how? In faith, keep going, nothing wavering. Let me read it again. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive, come on, anything of the Lord. So it's a temptation of Satan to try to get you a little trust in this and then a little trust in that and a little trust in that. But when you do that, you divide up your faith. And that's when faith cannot work, because over in Exodus chapter 20, it said that God is a jealous God. I said God is a jealous God. So in this, God has provisions for you. He has promises for you. But the enemy wants to keep you from those promises because he wants to keep what really belongs to you. And he doesn't want you to have your inheritance. But God has an inheritance for you. He wants to get it to you. But the way that God has for you to access it is by faith. And faith means that you're a committed seeker to the Lord, that you're going to trust in him. Now, why some people don't receive the supernatural? Because the supernatural is a requirement if you are to possess your inheritance. You are not fighting an intellectual devil. You're not going to sit up in a classroom and debate him. You're going to move him with power. And that's what it says in the scriptures. So now, as I come in here, what keeps me from that power? What can keep me from the power of God in my life? Let's go, first place, to Mark's Gospel and chapter 6, please. I'm talking about this title of this lesson is Understanding the Supernatural. You know, the Bible says, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, what? Get understanding. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from which has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which has been given him to him, that even such mighty works, underline mighty works, are wrought through his hand, by his hands? Is not this the carpenter's son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not these his sisters here with us? And they were what? Offended at it. Now notice what they said. Now isn't this the same man that put my toilet stool in here, down here, put that sink in my bathroom? Isn't it the same one? And I said, yeah. Well, he's a prophet. Oh, man, come on. Now, you follow what I'm saying? Because now the anointing has kicked in. The anointing is on Jesus. And I'm telling you, that same anointing is on you. It's an unction that enables us to function supernaturally. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, he said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Over in Psalm 133, he says that how good and how pleasant it is for God's people to dwell together in unity. He said that it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, and the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now, why is it saying that? It's saying that, now I'm teaching all this in one. Here is Jesus, he was anointed. But what's on him is on you. As Moses poured the oil on Aaron to anoint him to be the high priest, as Samuel poured the oil on David, and the Bible says the power of God came on David from that day forward, that same oil is coming from the head, who is Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1. He's the head of the church. Am I right about it? That same oil is pouring right down on you and me. And it was the anointing that was causing all this power to be demonstrated. Yee, Lord Jesus. So here is Jairus. He's going to the house, and this woman with the issue of blood stops Jesus. And she touches his garment, and notice nobody gave her permission. Why? Because healing belongs to you. You don't have to ask permission to get healed. Healing is yours. It is a part of what you've been born into. You don't have to pray to God to be healed. Healing belongs to you. I'm going to show you something. Come on over to Revelation chapter 5, please. Revelation chapter 5. Let God be true and every man be a what? Liar. See, he deceived Jacob. He deceived him. See, Satan is out to deceive you. He's out to try to make you believe that you don't have what God already gave you. Eve, the snake said this. Said, now, let me ask you something. What did God say? He said, don't touch this tree. He said, let me tell you why he told you that. He told you that because he knew the day you eat of that tree, you'll be like him. So notice what Eve's thinking now. I'll be like him. Oh, okay. Man, I'd like to be like him. So I think I'm going to eat this tree. The Bible says Eve was deceived. It didn't say Eve ate Adam out of house and home. It said she was deceived. It said that she didn't know it. It's just like you signing up for something and you get deceived. You've been deceived on this thing. Remember Joshua? Here was Joshua coming in here and he was going to fight the battle, and then they met him, the Gibeonites, and they said, we came from a long way. Look at our clothes. Look at these wine bottles. They were fresh when we first bought them. Now look at them, dust all over them and so forth. Look at our shoes. Look at the holes in the bottom of our shoes. We come from a long way. And Joshua failed to seek the Lord. I'm telling you that the devil can try to deceive you in a fact that if you don't seek the Lord, you will be deceived. I'm telling you, here's what I'm doing. I don't care what's happening with me. First place, I'm going to seek the Lord. And the next place, if it's not in the Word of God, I ain't believing it. Because if it doesn't line up with the Word of God and I get the Word of God, I can make it line up with the Word of God. Notice, Joshua had outward signs that they came from a long ways, and they came from right over here on this plane. See? Notice, Jacob had all the evidence that this was the condition of his son. And it was a lie. I'm telling you now, Satan can show you natural evidence. But let God be true. And every man be a liar. I don't care who the man is. I don't care if he's been trained. He's a liar in my opinion. I'm going to believe the Word of God. The Word of God says wealth and riches are going to be in my house. Folks, I went and filled up my gas tank. My wife and I were coming back from somewhere downtown, and I every time I've been going out, I meant to fill it up, but when I get ready to go out, everything was just, I mean, I had to get there so quickly till I didn't have time to stop by the gas station to get to it. Pretty soon, the thing is on reserve. You know how the light come on and so forth. On mine, it comes up right on the dashboard, reserves. And I said, let me stop by and get some gas. Stop by here. I said, let me see how much this is going to take. I filled that thing up. It took a flat $100. Not 99 and a half. 100 even money. Got it? Now, when I was way back when, then, days when I was not knowing all these truths, I would have panicked. I got mad. I would have gotten mad at the gas company, mad at the tank. Mad. Yeah. But see, I'm wiser than that now. So watch this. So God tells me, he said, now, you can pray that gas prices come back down. Because the church is in the control of the earth. That's number one. He said, but you can also do something else. He said, now this is breakthrough thinking. Now this is where you got to think when you're with God, the God factor. He said, you can pray that you fill it up tonight. And the next time you'll have to fill it up is September 15th. He said that every night, when the woman went to bed, more meal and oil came in the house. Come on now. There is a law of replenishment. But if you're not thinking supernatural, you don't think like that. You just busy complain and beg. So, Revelation chapter 5. Look at this. Revelation chapter 5. Now, I know somebody here, they say, now what is this man talking about? I'm talking about something that you probably have never heard of in your life, that you need to get over into, because there are no impossibilities where you were born from. You're like Superman coming here from Krypton. You can do stuff here that other folk here can't do. Now, watch this now. I want you to see this. He says here, verse 11, and I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now notice, each one of those is what Jesus received. But you are a joint heir with him. So each one of these you receive. You received, glory to God, power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Now you need to go in there and find out how much power that is. That's enough power to do anything to accomplish the divine mandate that God has put on your life. And one of the things that God has put on your life, he wants this earth restored back to its rightful ownership. He has given you enough power to do that. And you are not talking about a little bit of power. You're talking about as much power as God needs to give you to do the job. That's how much power you're going to have. Say amen to that. And how about riches? How rich are you? I told you I was in there preaching in Africa, and Brother Copeland was preaching. He said, God has made you rich beyond your wildest imagination. Well, now this is a piece here. That's a part that I wanted to show you over here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. It says that here was Jesus. They said, now, isn't this a carpenter's son? I mean, he put my door in on my patio. He put that in down there. But it says in verse 4, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kinfolk and his own house. Watch this. And he could do no what? Mighty works, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk. The one translation said, with minor ailments like a headache, and healed them. And he marveled because of their what? Unbelief. And what about what? Teaching. He could do no mighty works. I'm talking about the mighty miracle worker. I'm talking about he could do no mighty works. Now, let me ask you, if Warren Buffett was coming to meet with his stockholders at Berkshire Hathaway and he was showing up, guaranteed you couldn't get a seat. Ain't nobody going to say, oh, that's the same old Warren that was here last year. They're not going to say that because they know what he can say can make them a multimillionaire. So you got people, they just show up on Sundays on special day because they think the man Bill Winston is not anointed enough that he can give them a word that could cancel their debt before next Sunday. Every debt in their house will be wiped out. The anointing of God is on me to deliver you, to make you rich, to bless you, to glorify you. Dress up in your little nice Sunday going to meet stuff and come in looking at other people, see what they got on. You got the wrong motives. Get your heart purified. Know that if you have faith in God and who he has sent, you will get the anointing of the prophet. I'm in this pulpit, and I don't know nobody when I'm up here. When I'm up here, I'm getting it from him and sending it right out to you. And that man of God said, God has made you rich beyond your wildest imagination. Boom, I knew that was me. I got that thing, boom, and I've been meditating it ever since. I've been seeing things in the scriptures I never saw before because the Bible says, in thy light will you see light. And you got to see it before you can get it. All these redemptive heritages, heritage is something that you were born into. Every one of these things you have now, you don't need to pray for them. You don't need to beg God for them. You don't need to fast for them. You don't need to whatever for them. They are yours. What you need to do is receive. And to do it, you need revelation knowledge. Give the Lord a praise. That's all I got. I'm out of time. I got to quit.